what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you had a great weekend. Wanted to read to you from Psalm 139. The psalmist says to the Lord, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." Well, we have the 2024 election before us, November 5th, and no doubt you and I are getting inundated with all the talk about the election and debates and interviews and assassination attempts. There was a second assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Elon Musk pointed out on X just yesterday, it's kind of interesting that they're trying to take out Trump. Nobody is trying to attack Biden or Harris. And people were up in arms at that. What are you saying, that we should try and kill, Kamala Harris? Obviously, that's not what he's saying. He's just making an observation that Trump is the target for the left, especially. And they're all in this together, the mainstream media, the late night talk show hosts, the government and the government entities that hate Donald Trump. So it is something. And in the 2024 election, the issues at hand, you know, you hear about religious liberty, very, very important. The southern border and illegal immigration, very, very important. Foreign policy, very, very important, especially as it relates to Israel. Law and order in our cities and communities. Transgenderism. All those things are so important. But there's one issue that stands above all issues, and that is the issue of abortion. I have said before that you can't just line up issues and abortion is one of many issues. Abortion is the key issue. Now, we are privileged today to have as our guest Seth Gruber. Seth is an author, a speaker, a podcaster, a movie maker, husband and father, and a culture warrior. And he has a brand new, has a book out, The 1916 Project. I love the subtitle, The Lion, Lying, L-Y-I-N, The Lion, The Witch, and The War We're In. And he's turned this book into a documentary. And it is well worth your time because it will open your eyes to the roots of Planned Parenthood and to the unspeakable evils of abortion. So, Seth, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks, Pastor Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So this let's get into to your project here, the 1916 Project. That was a book that became a documentary. Is that how that worked?
Yeah, well, we worked on them actually simultaneously. So the book just came out September 4th, and the documentary comes out October 5th with Angel Studios for guild members for 2 weeks. And then in the last 2 weeks leading up to the election, it will be streaming online for free on the Angel app and on X, or formerly Twitter.
Yes. The documentary is very well done, Seth. And so I was privileged to get to see that just a couple of weeks ago.
Thank you.
How long did it take you to put that together?
A little under a year. I mean, with post-production and some other, you know, little embellishments, a little over a year. But we traveled and filmed and worked on the key aspects of it for about a year.
So you make this statement in the movie and in the book, no doubt, that Planned Parenthood is the linchpin of our decaying nation. Can you unpack that some for our listeners?
Yes, thank you, Pastor Jeff. Yes, I mean, listen, like you just said, there's a lot of important issues, right? And we touch on a lot of those issues in the book, by the way, which goes even deeper than the film. I mean, I'm a conservative. You know, I believe that we should have lower tax rates. I believe that we should be protecting parental rights and the innocence of children. I believe that we should ban transgender Frankenstein surgeries. Mm-hmm. I believe that we should close our border. These are all really, really important issues to discuss. However, our decaying, upside down, kooky, perverted, and very stupid society that has so many people upset in the 21st century did not come upon us accidentally. It did not happen suddenly. It happened gradually and then suddenly, just like bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people in the last few years, especially since 2020, Pastor Jeff, just kind of good-hearted, normal, common-sense Americans are just wondering, what in the world is going on? What happened to my country? Mm-hmm. How did this happen? And how do we change this? Because I really don't want to hand this country to my children and grandchildren. I think that speaks to a lot of the ways that a lot of Americans, believers, non-believers, who are just common sense Americans, believe. And so we really thought it was important to be able to begin awakening Americans, and especially the church, which is where my ministry is dominantly focused, Pastor Jeff, to the hidden history of the secular moral revolution and the dirty little secrets of the sexual revolution that have really been whitewashed and hidden from the American people, because the Democrat Party and the secular progressive moral revolutionaries today walk in the same political and philosophical tradition as those weirdos from the 20th century who put the culture of death on steroids. Weirdos that I think most liberals today don't want the common American to learn the history behind and the true motivations, because it begins to blow the top off of our entire perverted culture today. And so there's a great line from Hilaire Belloc. He was G.K. Chesterton's best friend. And he said, to comprehend the history of a thing is to unlock the mysteries of its present, but more, to discover the profundities of its future. In other words, we don't study history just to kind of nitpick and debate about what happened then. We study history to understand how that's still happening now, mm-hmm. and where this will continue to go in the future if nothing changes and good people, and the church in particular, does not stand up against evil, dangerous ideologies of what Christians, Pastor Jeff, should actually call fundamentally false religion. So that kind of sets the tone for the why. And I've been speaking in more pulpits on the issue of life in the last 4 years than anyone in the world that I'm aware of. And the number one response I've gotten from good believers, Pastor Jeff, as I've gone into the demonic history of some of this stuff, is, Seth, I've never heard any of that before, ever. And these are bold churches with bold leadership that have me out. And yet those bold, very educated churches with really good pastors that I love, even those churches don't really know how we got here. And that's when I realized, though, that we're in deep doo-doo here. And we're going to have to go back and begin educating people if we're going to dig our way out of this hole.
Okay, so the 1916 Project, what is significant about that date, 1916?
Yeah, 1916 is when the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, opened her very first clinic, which became the beginning of Planned Parenthood, the best-funded 501c3 in human history, the largest abortion provider in the world, the largest provider of the pornographic comprehensive sexuality education in America's public schools. It's bringing angry mama bears and papa bears to school board meetings. Mm-hmm. And as of last year, brother, Planned Parenthood announced that they are now the second largest provider in America of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for America's gender-confused youth. In fact, trans drugs for teens is now Planned Parenthood's fastest growing revenue stream. Mm. Pretty disgusting for them. It all goes together. It's all part of the same paganism. Planned Parenthood, your listeners need to understand, is not an abortion organization. They're a culture of death organization. Abortion plays a part of that, but their vision, their mission, and their revolution has always been way larger than simply killing babies, as if that's not evil enough to wake people up. And we were also kind of riffing on the 1619 Project, Pastor Jeff, which is the New York Times 2019, the 1619 Project, when they said America's systemically racist, we're a horrible country. Author Nicole Hannah Jones, who's a purple-haired Marxist, who was discipled by the students of the Frankfurt School, which is where we get critical race theory and critical theory, by the way, in cultural Marxism. And the 1619 Project said you got to go back to 1619 when the first black slaves came to American shores to understand why America is so allegedly systemically racist and evil. We're horrible. And so our birthday as a country, they argue, Pastor Jeff, shouldn't be 1776. It should be 1619. That became K-12 curriculum in some schools. It's now a special on Hulu. And then 9 months later, after it came out, George Floyd, then the summer of 2020. And so the BLM Incorporated and 1619 revolutionaries were saying, everything's racist, so we got to cancel anything that has racism, allegedly. So Aunt Jemima's got to go, the syrup lady, you remember, Pastor Jeff?
Right.
Aunt Jemima, got to cancel Aunt Jemima.
Yeah.
And then they went after Planned Parenthood. And that's the most hilarious part of it all, is that it was the disciples of the 1619 Project who were trying to cancel anything that they said had vestiges of racism, who went after Planned Parenthood the summer of 2020, because the revolution always eats its own. That led to Planned Parenthood canceling their founder, took the Sanger Health Center name off of their New York City Manhattan mega clinic. They took her name off the building. And so we open up the film and book, brother, with the question, if they've lied to you about their patron saint, what else are they lying to us about?
Hey, Seth, can you give us just a brief bio on Margaret Sanger, the mother of all the Planned Parenthood clinics?
Yeah, I guess the briefest bio would be Margaret Sanger was a cultural Marxist, socialist, communist, free love, anti-marriage, anti-the Catholic and Protestant church revolutionary, who wanted to create a culture of orgasms without responsibility to free women, that free the libido and free women from the consequences of that libido by limiting birth. She was a eugenicist and a racist. Eugenics is the belief that there's good genes and bad genes and not everyone is equally good. So some people should be sterilized and shouldn't have kids if the elites decide that they're not good to reproduce. And some people should be allowed to have kids. And so she launched the Negro Project in 1939 to specifically target Black America to decrease their birth. She had a board member who was a part of the KKK and was invited to meet with Hitler and Heinrich Himmler in 1939 because the Nazis really loved his books. He sat on the board of Planned Parenthood for years. She really launched the pornographic sex ed. Planned Parenthood's the largest provider of that obscene education in the schools. So for her, it really is a global revolution. And she understood that if you're going to change the culture, you've got to approach it culturally. You can't just tinker with politics. You have to change the culture, fundamentally change people's hearts and how they think about these issues. And then the revolution can happen without guns, because people will be adopting a new religion, which for our understanding should really be called neo-pagan revivalism. She's probably the most successful leftist revolutionary of the 20th century, whose fingerprints on today's culture are probably greater than any other revolutionary on the left of the 20th century.
So when Planned Parenthood was attacked by BLM, they didn't try and defend Margaret Sanger. They agreed she was a racist.
So that's the funny story right there, Pastor Jeff, is that the 1619 Project and BLM and all these folks, you'll recall that they kind of argued that if something started in like overt bigotry and racism, then it can't be redeemed. By the way, they believe that about America, right? That's why they're pulling down statues and saying we got to defund the police. They're saying like America is systemically racist, and the only way to redeem that is to burn it all down and remake it from the ashes. But notice they didn't apply that premise to their patron saint and to the sacred cow of liberalism, Planned Parenthood. If they believe that, why didn't they call for the defunding and the complete destruction of Planned Parenthood? So Planned Parenthood came out and tried to placate the radical pro-abortion left that summer, brother, and was like, they were like, yeah, she was a racist. Yeah. Okay, we're going to stop giving out the Margaret Sanger Award, okay? I know we gave it to Nancy Pelosi. I know we gave it to Hillary Clinton, but okay. We won't give it out anymore, okay? The Smithsonian will take down the Margaret Sanger bust. We'll take her name off the Margaret Sanger Planned Parenthood. We'll take the Margaret Sanger Square sign down in New York City.
Seth, okay, let me break in here.
Racist, but...
Seth, we're up against a break. We want to continue this discussion. We're talking to Seth Gruber and his new book and movie, The 1619 Project. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to Seth Gruber, author, speaker, podcaster, movie maker, husband and father, father of three, and a culture warrior. He's the founder of the White Rose Resistance, a nonprofit organization committed to being a voice for unborn children. And the mission of the White Rose Resistance is to educate and expose societal attitudes toward abortion. And Seth believes, like I do, and hopefully you do, that every individual has the right to be born. He has a brand new book and movie, The 1916 Project, The Lion, The Witch, and The War We're In. I love that subtitle, Seth. And so we were talking about The 1619 Project. I think I got that stuck in my head when we were closing out the first segment. Your program, your book, your documentary is The 1916 Project, all about exposing the roots of abortion and the evils of abortion and the roots of Planned Parenthood. So here's a question for you, Seth. Why is abortion and Planned Parenthood specifically, why is that the sacred cow of the Democrat Party?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's pretty basic. If you don't get the right to life right, you won't get any other rights right, right? I mean, our founders understood an order of rights. That's why they put in our founding documents, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty and the pursuit of happiness doesn't mean much. In fact, it means nothing at all if you can be murdered. And if you can kill a innocent human being for whatever reason in the womb, then why not outside the womb? The birth canal does not confer personhood. Okay, there's not a fetus fairy, Pastor Jeff, that sprinkles magical personhood conferring fairy dust on the baby as it slips out the birth canal, and oh my gosh, it's a person. Only secular humanism could rot the brain in such a way and make you believe that. And by the way, let me just prove exactly how dangerous ideologies are. The Democrat Party for a few years now, brother, has been pushing for fourth trimester abortions. We used to have a word for that. It's called infanticide. And Tim Walz, Kamala Harris's VP pick and the current governor of Minnesota, actually changed the law a while back and signed a law that ceased the reporting requirement for people to report when a baby was born alive in the process of a botched, failed abortion. Mm-hmm. And so there's actually been an investigation into this and a state report showing that about at least seven babies were left to die on a cold steel table after being born alive in the process of a failed botched abortion. That's infanticide. Who's been arrested? Who's been charged? Of course, the answer is none. Mm-hmm. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act from Ben Sasse in 2019 that was brought back in 2020, Nancy Pelosi and her cronies and goons vetoed that about 100 times. It's just an anti-infanticide bill because there's no current federal law that actually has prosecutions and criminal the consequences for allowing a child to die that survives a botched abortion. So just one little example to prove my point. If you can kill the unborn, why not the child right after birth?
Right.
And if right after birth, why not after that? I mean, there's really no, and so what we're seeing is really just neo-pagan revivalism. Almost every culture and society in human history, Pastor Jeff, exercised and practiced human sacrifice at one point or another. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it for over 50 years in America. and it's called abortion. And so when Roe got overturned and it goes back to the states, they burned down over 100 pro-life ministries, most of which were pregnancy resource centers. And they were spray painting on the walls of these amazing ministries, Pastor Jeff, the words, "If abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either." Yeah. In other words, oh, you're going to take away some of our abortion rights, then we're going to come for you. And I could give a dozen other examples, obviously. Nothing angers the spirit of the age and his acolytes in the culture of death quite so much as when you say, you might not be able to kill as many babies, and we're going to abolish this. We're going to tear down the Asherah poles and the Baal statues. Buckle up. The church is waking up. And this is fundamentally the church's duty and role, and that's what we're focused on.
Well, you know, many people, Seth, I would imagine you're in this same group that I'm in, very disappointed in Donald Trump for weakening his stance. He seemed to, in 2016, be, hey, I'm pro-life, and now he's so wishy-washy. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I've been one of the primary kind of pro-life leaders and voices who's been really ripping him a new one. And I've gotten heat from it, from even like conservatives and pro-lifers, because they say, you know, Seth, you're creating voter hesitancy. Mm-hmm. And so pro-lifers aren't going to vote for Trump because you're bashing him, and then Kamala Harris will definitely get elected. I understand what they're saying, but that's not how politics works in America. We the people always have to hold elected representatives accountable. And so he deserves to have his feet held to the fire. Because he needs to stand by his pro-life commitments and convictions, at least that he expressed in 2016, 2017, 2018. And he celebrated the overturning of Roe versus Wade. But then he started saying things like, when Arizona had their ban earlier this year, for a few weeks, he was like, oh, that goes too far. That's wrong. So his language on this has been very confusing, because if you celebrate the overturning of Roe versus Wade, Pastor Jeff, obviously you're celebrating states' rights to determine their own laws. But when then Arizona had banned it, Trump said, that goes too far. We got to change that. So it's like, well, so are you grateful that states can make their own laws or not? And his weakening language on this is what influenced the Republican National Committee to change their platform. And that platform is no longer overtly pro-life like it used to be. And that is a massive tragedy, because now we can't hold Republican candidates and politicians to that standard. The platform is the standard. And it allows us to hold their feet to the fire. And so he's really done a damage to the pro-life movement. And we need to continue yelling at him, screaming at him, encouraging him to stand for life and to be bold. And so we saw a little bit of evidence of how self-governance can actually be effective when you're vocal, Pastor Jeff. A few weeks ago, he indicated that he would be voting for the expansion of abortion in Florida with the abortion amendment. And he said, it's got to be later than 6 weeks. That's what he said. It's got to be later. 6 weeks to kill a baby. And then he had a ton of pro-life outrage. 2 days later, Pastor Jeff, he says, I'm voting against it. So that's an example of why it's important to be vocal.
Well, it's, you know, I saw the movie Reagan, and I thought it was excellent. And, you know, Reagan had convictions that determined his stances. I sense with Donald Trump, he has a few convictions, but when it comes to life, he doesn't have a conviction. It seems to be whatever, you know, is going to get him votes. Seth, I don't understand why he keeps repeating this line. All they wanted was to get this back to the states, overturn Roe v. Wade and get it back to the states. Well, then that doesn't necessarily help the unborn, because you have states like California that are all for it and invite people to come. So it seems to me that you say abortion is murder, and we need to have a federal ban against abortion, murdering the unborn. So why is that? That seemed to be his stance constantly. Well, we get it back to the states, get it back to the states.
Well, because there are a lot of moderate, by the way, I've been doing podcast episodes ripping him, and it's been very frustrating. So we're in agreement. But he's trying to cater to the moderates, who probably, are Republican, but they don't want to ban abortion. They don't think that there should be a ban, but they're also the moderates are super uncomfortable with, like, third trimester abortions. You know what I mean? Most Democrats, by the way, are too. Not the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party wants infanticide. I'm now convinced of that. But I'm saying the voters, your run-of-the-mill Democrat voter, they don't like third trimester abortions. Gallup poll has proven this. And so they like the idea of states being able to decide. They don't, they're like, oh, you know, I'm a Reagan conservative. I'm a Reagan Republican. And so they don't like this idea of a big government that would federalize something like that. So he's trying to, I think he's trying to cater to the pro-life moderates. Of course, you're either pro-life or pro-choice. There's no moderate, but you know what I mean. The people who want to kill some babies, but not all babies.
Right.
So they like that. It feels like a conservative small government position to say, let's let the states decide. And what I say to them, brother, is get behind me, Stephen Douglas.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, because one of the things that was a great moment in the documentary and had to be probably a life-changing moment for you is visiting the concentration camp in Germany. You went to, did you go to Dachau?
Dachau, that's right. Yep. Yeah, I actually got to go to Dachau when I was in high school, and I got to go back to film there. But then, you know, obviously we got to go to some other locations in the film that were absolutely inspirational as part of the message and history of Christian resistance. But yeah, that was an important piece for us to do in the film, because if nothing changes soon in America, there's no good reason to believe that we couldn't end up going in a similar direction as mm-hmm. what we've seen in the Third Reich, or, you know, or in Soviet Russia. You know, I mean, there's plenty of other examples. But the reason that we wanted to go to Germany and to look at some of the horrific and heinous consequences of eugenics, right, and Nazism, is because of all the links and between the progressives in America who were part of Planned Parenthood, who funded Planned Parenthood, some of them sat on the board of Planned Parenthood, who wrote in Margaret Sanger's magazine, the architect of the culture of death in the early 20th century, their links to, relationships with, friendships with, and influence on the Third Reich is well documented. But most Americans don't know that. And so we really wanted to put that together. And so we wanted to visit Dachau in Germany to really tell the story of where these evil ideologies end up when left unchecked, mm-hmm. right? And the inspirational story of Christian resistance that we focus on in the film, of the White Rose Resistance in 1942 and 1943 in the Third Reich, of Christian young people who were standing up against these evils and trying to wake up the church. And so that was an important part of the film. And the book really tells their whole story in an entire chapter that goes much deeper, of the White Rose Resistance, these kids in their 20s standing up against Hitler, whose bravery had caught the attention of Bonhoeffer, actually. And Bonhoeffer had come to meet with them. But by the time he showed up to the scheduled meeting, they had been killed 4 days before for trying to distribute leaflets to wake people up.
Well, I know, Seth, when I visited the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, I mean, emotionally, that is something to go through there. And you see all the shoes and you think about all the, you know, the millions of lives that were lost. So when you were at Dachau and you think in your mind of what took place there, you know, just decades ago, how does that affect you?
I mean, yeah, I was a homeschool kid, brother, and had a good education. And I've been studying and learning this stuff for years. And being there, standing where, at least at Dachau, where over 40,000, and that's nothing compared to Auschwitz, right? Where over 40,000 people were murdered at Dachau, over 200,000 were imprisoned. The first concentration camp opened shortly after Hitler was elected chancellor of Germany, is incredibly somber. It's incredibly moving and dark. And I think that most Americans kind of assume, because we've taken liberty and freedom for granted for so long, that we could never end up like that. America mm-hmm. can never become a despotic regime where we kill and arrest political dissidents. It's like, wait a second, that's already happening.
Right.
That's already happening. What do you mean that couldn't happen here? Tyranny just takes a little bit longer to set in in America because of our form of government. And so it almost makes it more dangerous because we're like the frog in the boiling pot. It's like tyranny just takes a little longer for an overt takeover in America because this is America. But it doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means that it moves slower. And what we're doing in America right now, brother, is we're adopting and we're actually implementing identical ideologies and belief systems right now through the state, through our public education system. And of course, those are being smuggled into and preached in woke, weak, and heretical churches. The same kind of ideologies, worldviews, and philosophies that Hitler believed, that the Third Reich believed. And we're fools if we think that that could never happen here.
Seth, when you think about the George Soroses of the world that fund so much of the destruction and the rot, and there are other players like that. Bill Gates seems to be a player like that, and these ultra wealthy guys. what's their end game? I mean, I know that the devil is working through this to push us to the Antichrist and one world government, but those guys probably aren't thinking that way. So in their minds, if you can get in their heads, what do you think is their end game?
Well, George Soros once said the main obstacle to a stable and just world is the United States.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I mean, talk about an idiot. But don't, you know, careful guys, don't attribute being an idiot with not being dangerous. Okay, these people are still very dangerous. I mean, dude, like David and Lucille Packard Foundation, Warren Buffett, the Kaiser Family Foundation, George Soros, they were all involved in funding Danko Laboratories, which was originally chartered offshore in the Grand Cayman Islands. And Danko Laboratories, guess who, what they became, brother? The manufacturer of the abortion pill, the RU486 abortion pill in America. So like, you know, we could go on and on and on. Like the stuff that these people fund is so evil. And you know, you go back to the Rockefellers, you know, the Fords and the Carnegies, right, in the early to mid 1900s, they're funding all the same stuff. They funded Planned Parenthood, they funded the Population Council, the American Eugenic Society. The goal has always been to create a one world government. I think now enough Americans understand that, like, that's not a conspiracy theory anymore. Like, I think people used to kind of laugh at that, like, oh, what, you think there's some cabal that's cooperating to create a one world government? Oh, you're so dumb. Stop listening to Alex Jones. And now I think most people are like, I watched enough breakout sessions or viral clips that took off from people at Davos. And I think that's what they want.
Like, yeah.
In 2021, Klaus Schwab released the like 10 initiatives for the World Economic Forum. And one of them was, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy.
Yeah.
You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. So I think we're starting to see the clown show for what it is, but it's still a dangerous clown show.
Yes.
And what we're doing is we're kind of going back and exposing what a lot of the animating motivations and worldviews were.
Seth, we're up against a break. We're talking to Seth Gruber. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back with more Seth. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking to Seth Gruber, author, speaker, podcaster, movie maker, husband, and father. He is the founder of the White Rose Resistance, and the book is called The 1916 Project, The Lion, the Witch, and the War We're In. And then the documentary that comes out next month, The 1916 Project, exposes the hidden history of the secular moral revolution and the architects of our current culture of death. Okay, Seth, I know you're very, very involved and you stay well educated on what's going on in current events. We have this election before us. We have these two candidates, as we saw in the debate, which now it's being revealed by an ABC whistleblower that they gave her the questions and told her they wouldn't fact check her. They fact checked Trump, I think, five different times. You know, my wife and I were watching that, and she said, "I can't believe this. These are the two people that we have to choose from." That was the first kind of groan from her, and I think that's a groan from many. But we hear this is the most important election of our lifetime. We seem to hear that every 4 years. But I mean, how do you not say that's true? Because if Kamala Harris gets elected, America may never recover from that. What do you say?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. The reason that people have been saying for decades that this is the most important election of our lifetime is because the culture continues to decay and rot. Every 4 to 8 years, the culture looks worse than it did 4 to 8 years before that. And this is because of the church, because the church has by and large removed itself from the business of public life. It doesn't want to be perceived as political. The church often thinks that she is too pious and self-righteous for the, quote, dirty business of politics, even though, of course, it was the church and believers that created this country and wanted to build a political system of self-government. But due to lies like the Johnson Amendment and the separation of church and state, which, by the way, if that's true, let's keep the state out of the church, right?
Right.
They only mean that as a one-way street where they want to use the state to prevent the church from seeking to influence secular governments. And so I agree with you that this is probably the most important election of our lifetime, that Kamala Harris, if she gets 4 or 8 years, could actually probably destroy America to the point that we couldn't turn it around without civil war or without real persecution of believers and the church. And that's something I would like to avoid if we can. But the reason that people say that every year is because since the early 1900s, the culture has continued to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Religious values, Christianity, people that say that they follow Jesus, that they're Christians, that they attend church, continues to decrease and decrease and decrease and decrease. And so, listen, someone's worldview and someone's religion is going to be the dominant one. That's how human nature works. Man needs a creed. Man needs a worldview. Man needs a religion to live by. And so if Christianity removes itself from the business of public life, guess what? Something's going to take its place. And I think we've been seeing what's been taking its place for about the last 100 years, and it's pretty ugly.
As you travel around, Seth, and speak in churches, are you encouraged or discouraged?
I'm encouraged. Yeah, I have the awesome privilege of speaking in a lot of churches most Sundays of the month. And I've never seen the church in America so excited and sort of ready to do something. I would say the number one response I get is, "I didn't know any of that," and also, "What can I do? What can I do?" And so at the White Rose Resistance, we're launching resistance chapters all around the country to get people engaged. And we had 300 people come to the training and launch of our Denver chapter for the White Rose. And then we do boots on the ground activism and get the church engaged. And so, yes, we're not anywhere close to where we need to be yet, Pastor Jeff. But I think there's a rumbling sort of happening. And I think it feels like the church is starting to wake almost as if from a long sleep. And if we can continue to encourage pastors to be bold, believers to be courageous, to get engaged, and set a new standard for what Christianity and Christian resistance looks like, I think people will rise to that bar, and that's what we're trying to do.
You know, Seth, in Megan Basham's book, Shepherds for Sale, she makes the link that, you know, this trend toward liberalism in the church is not just haphazard. It's people that are buying into, either bought and paid for by liberals, organizations, George Soros or whoever. But there is this push. You had evangelicals for Biden. Now you have evangelicals for Harris. And the question comes to my mind, how in the world could you call yourself a Christian and vote for Kamala Harris? Can you answer that for us?
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, we're saved by grace through faith, not by works. So could a Christian be really confused and maybe under bad teaching and still be saved and vote for Kamala Harris? Yes, you could be a Christian and vote for Kamala Harris, but you've done something evil and wicked, and I think you need to repent. Now, if you say you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for years and you're supposed to be mature in your faith and you're not a brand new baby believer, and you continue to say, oh no, God loves child killing. He loves open borders. He loves chopping the genitals off of minors and chemically castrating them. He loves throwing pro-life sidewalk counselors in prison. He loves when Kamala Harris raids the apartments of pro-life undercover journalists and steals their footage because the footage indicts Planned Parenthood. And I'm going to vote for that. And that's just wonderful. You continue in that. You continue to celebrate that. And then I think we can begin to actually judge your fruit, judge the tree.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever tree this fruit's coming from, I don't think it's been saved. I don't think that this is a redeemed, saved, blood-bought bride. Yes, you can be a pro-choice Christian, but you can't continue in that way. You need to repent. And if the church continues to be a part of implementing and ushering in this demonic revolution, we will be judged one day.
Yeah, so what do you say to the person, Seth, that says, well, I don't really see, especially on abortion, I don't see that much difference between the two because Donald Trump doesn't seem to have a strong opinion about abortion. And so, you know, then they look at the fact that he's so bombastic and the things that he says, and seems he can come across like, you know, I mean, going after Taylor Swift on a tweet. It's like, why are you doing that? I like what Rick Scarborough says. You know, we don't like what Trump says, but we like what he does. And he seemed to govern very responsibly when he was president. And so in my mind, and I'd like you to comment on this, Kamala Harris, taking all the liberalism aside, just looking at her as a potential leader, she doesn't have any leadership qualities that she's expressing anyway. If she has them, she keeps them well hidden. What would you say to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, Kamala Harris has just failed upwards. She's just failed upwards her entire political career. And in some ways, she was the first Margaret Sanger. She too, learned to sleep her way up the levers of power. If listeners are offended by that, then you might not know exactly how Kamala Harris began her political career, and you should research that. But these hilarious videos right now online, brother, of Kamala Harris debating Kamala Harris.
Right.
Clips from when she was running for president in 2019, 2020, compared to statements she's made today. She's saying the opposite to the same questions regarding policy because she doesn't believe anything. She licks her finger, she sticks it up in the air, and she sees which way the wind's blowing. But mm-hmm. Thank you, the internet is forever, and so we can expose the fraud that she is. But listen, Jesus Christ isn't coming on Air Force One. So you're right. Always going to be voting for the lesser of two evils. While Trump deserves to be critiqued and have his feet held to the fire, so he begins to be bold for the unborn instead of so lackadaisical and trying to straddle the fence on abortion or split the baby on abortion, at worst, he's going to do nothing. At worst, Trump's just going to do nothing on the abortion issue. He's not going to move to protect unborn children, and he's not going to move to attack them. He probably will protect pregnancy resource centers. He probably will protect pro-life sidewalk counselors that the mm-hmm. Biden-Harris administration right now is throwing into federal prison because they stood outside of an abortion center. Some of them didn't even block the access or lock. They didn't like lock themselves to the door. And they're being thrown in federal prison for allegedly violating the FACE Act, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. At worst, Trump is just going to do nothing to attack or protect the unborn, but he'll protect pro-life activists and organizations from the ideological bigotry and attacks and discrimination from the current Biden-Harris administration. If Kamala Harris gets elected, I think you're going to see an attack on the pro-life movement, pro-life organizations, unborn children, like nothing you've ever seen before. And how do I know this? Because she's promising to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the documentary that comes out in October, is that right, Seth?
Yeah, and any church in America can host a screening of the film right now, which is super exciting, Pastor Jeff. So it comes out with Angel Studios October 5th for Angel Guild members. And then the last 2 weeks of October leading up to the election, it goes for free, streaming for free on Angel app, even if you're not a paying member, and on Twitter, now known as X. But any church in America right now, as you're hearing me, can host a screening at their church. We are having about 600, 700 churches screening it since June, and we expect about 1,500 by January or February. And so you guys can go to the1916project.com, the1916project.com, and you can press host a screening and bring this to your church. You can order the book from us or from Amazon, The 1916 Project, The Lying, The Witch, and The War We Are In. The book goes way deeper than the film, so I would really encourage you guys to get both. And if you guys want to support us and help us get this message to the ends of the world, and once you see the film, you understand its power to really wake up the church and swing elections, then you guys can go to the1916project.com or to the White Rose Resistance, thewhiterose.life. You guys can support us there. Become an ally. You get a free ticket to The Last Stand next June, because we're taking back June. Pastor Jeff, it's Life Amen. Month, not Pride Month. That's The Last Stand, thelaststand.com. We're doing that in June with Pastor Jack Kidd, Charlie Kirk, Ali Bestucky, Eric Metaxas, Skillet, Danny Gokey. We're working on Book and Tucker right now. And that's going to be 10,000 people in Southern California. That's what we're doing with the film. We're building a movement to rebuild Christian resistance to give God a reason to show America mercy.
Amen. I love that. Okay, so we just have a few more minutes, Seth, but what is your hope for the documentary? How do you want people to walk away from viewing that?
Yeah, I want people to walk away from the film saying the same things that people say to me when they hear me preach at a church, which is, well, I never knew that anymore, and now what the heck can I do? Give me my marching orders right now. And most of the responses from churches who have screened it, like we had 3,500 people at World Outreach Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, with Pastor Alan Jackson and Eric Metaxas, who I brought out to the screening. And just the energy in these churches who have been screening it, it's just incredible, brother. Some days we have 5 churches in one day screening in the evening at the same time around the country, because the screenings are just taking off and people are getting engaged. And that's how we're launching these chapters around the country. And so we really want people to stop asking who and realize the answer is you. Okay, the church is plan A. And we've talked a little bit about the mess that we're cultures in today, Pastor Jeff. We have a heart sickness problem in this country and in our culture. It's so bad that I don't think we can vote our way out of it. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't vote or that voting and politics doesn't, have a role. Of course it does. Okay. It's like this country was launched by Christians developing a Christian civilization. Go vote, guys. It's the beginning of your Christian civic duty, not the end of your Christian civic duty. Mm-hmm. So, but my point is that because of the mess we're in, even getting Trump in, even getting someone but Kamala Harris it's going to stay the madness for a little bit. And that madness will return with another wicked Democrat politician or candidate until we change the culture. That's what Margaret Sanger and these revolutionaries did. That's what we expose in the book and film, is the demonic, evil culture and ideologies that were ushered in by, I believe, tools of Satan, because mm-hmm. the church wasn't standing and creating a godly culture. We have to preach the gospel. We have to bring the full counsel of God into conflict with the demonic ideologies of the day. And we need to wake up the blood-bought bride of Christ to be salty again mm-hmm. and bring that salt and light to a generation and culture in desperate need of the prophetic voice of the church.
Amen. As well said. Well, Seth, thank you so much for being my guest today. And I appreciate all your hard work. I appreciate your stand for the unborn and just for the movement of God in our country. I've said numerous times, we're kind of like Nineveh, and we're getting ready to hear the message yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. But Christians hold the key is if we get right, if we will repent, if we will call upon the Lord's name, and if we will stand up and speak up for the truth, we can make such an impact. So God bless you, my brother. I look forward to seeing you soon somewhere as we cross paths.
I'd be honored.
All right, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff.
Thank you so much. Well, that was Seth Gruber. He's the founder of the White Rose Resistance. And I encourage you to pick up a copy of the book, The 1916 Project, and then check out the screening for the 1916 documentary. You can go to the 1916project.com and find out more. But having that at your church would be a blessing, especially doing it before the election, so people can see the roots of Planned Parenthood, the evils of Planned Parenthood, and the secular progressives, what they're trying to accomplish. Hey, we need to stand up and speak up and fight for this land that God has given us. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. If you have a question or a comment, do not hesitate. You can reach me at Pastor Jeff at From His Heart, or from, sorry, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.